This is the Lee Conklin Antique Organ Museum, CONKLIN. And the pronouncer for one of these cities I'm going to list for you is Moscow. You won't find the Lee Conklin Antique Organ Museum listed in any guidebooks, but just ask the folks in the southern Michigan farming community of Hanover, or even neighboring Horton, Moscow, or Jonesville, and they'll point you in the right direction. The collection of nearly 80 antique organs, one of the most extensive in the country, can be found in the gymnasium of the old Hanover Public School. And as Marge Halpern reports, it's time this local secret went national. At first glance, the museum looks more like a warehouse. The old school gym is jam-packed with organs. Tall pipe organs, smaller chapel organs, the old flat tops, parlor organs with their ornate carvings, and even a few portable models, all remnants of an era when you made your own entertainment. Tour guide and Hanover Historical Society President Francis Hartman pulls up a stool and the warehouse atmosphere dissolves as we're whisked back into a turn-of-the-century parlor.
Play the chorus again.
Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the world.
The second voice is that of 93-year-old Lee Conklin, the man who amassed this organ collection. A retired farmer, Conklin started in 1964 when a family friend gave him the organ that was the center of many a Saturday evening's entertainment in his youth. He refurbished that instrument to keep busy after his wife died, then toured auctions and private sales to come up with the other 72 organs that eventually filled his barn.
Well, I don't know. I had such good luck with the first organ, and I had such good luck picking that up. I guess the spirit moved, and I like to fix them up. That's how that's all come about.
Conklin gave his organs a new finish, repaired keys, and added whatever mechanical or decorative parts were missing, using the parts he did have to make a pattern.
That's Mason Hammond, the top of here, but I made this here. I made that.
You made the whole thing.
Yeah, made the top.
Francis Hartman explains the walnut top on that organ flew off when Conklin was transporting it home from an auction. He made a replacement by cutting down a walnut tree, planing and curing the wood, then polishing it into a new hinge top just like the one he'd lost. On other organs, Conklin proudly points out a decorative handle, music stand, or volume control that he tinkered with, picking out work he did 20 years ago. Bystanders can't tell the difference between the parts Conklin restored and what remains of the original pieces. They marvel at both the authenticity of his work and the sharpness of his memory. But when it comes to making music with his organs, Conklin falls silent. He doesn't play the instruments. He leaves that job to Hartman, who explains that the organs work by forced air.
As you pump the pedals, the air is forced into the bellows and then drawn by suction over the small metal reeds. The tongues of these reeds vibrate as the sound, as air goes over them, making the sound.
To control different banks of reeds, the organs have as many as a dozen different stops, operated by porcelain knobs, which Hartman pushes and pulls to fit the sound of each piece of music.
Some of them add different sounds. Some amplify what you already have, like the couplers. But here's the violin. Here's the cello. Here's the harp. This is forte, means louder. And so that's what those.
And the whole time your feet are pumping at the bottom to get
it
going.
And the diapason is the basic sound of an organ. Yeah, the swell and the grate that add extra volume.
You push them with your knees.
Yes.
So your knees are going, your feet are going.
Yes, no wonder they wore long skirts.
But not all of the organs in this collection are so complicated.
This is a suitcase organ. It was patented in 1904. They would date back then to the First World War. This folds up, the top folds down, the bottom folds up, and has two carrying handles, which is nice because it takes two people to carry it. And this was taken out on the battlefields during the First World War. This kind was also used for entertaining because it's very portable.
There's also a circuit rider organ, the kind a traveling preacher would carry from town to town. The medium-sized melodeons were popular family organs, and most of those in Conklin's collection are finished in rich rosewood. They have one foot pedal for expression and one to work the bellows, producing a sound that's a mixture of pumping feet and tinkling keys. One of the most unusual organs in this collection is a reed organ that dates to about 1870.
This has bells that are mechanical. As you strike the keys, a little hammers come up and hit the bells. That's controlled by one stop. You could put the stop in and play just the organ, okay? Or we can have the combination, which is... which we like real well. We also have a piece of music here that I always like to point out. It's called The Colonial Man. It was written by DeWitt Galloway Peabody, who was a Hanover person, graduated from this school. And this was copyrighted in 1906. I think the anybody would enjoy it.
When Frances Hartman lectures to tour groups, she stands on the stage of the gymnasium-turned-museum, the same stage from which she graduated back when the museum was a public school. Hartman and the other members of the Hanover Historical Society are filled with memories of the town's golden years, and they're shaping this museum as a tribute to that era. The Society is restoring several classrooms to their original 1930s style and dusting off the old Hanover County switchboard, which, along with a few whoop and holler telephones, will serve as a hands-on display for kids. The handset type retrieved from the Hanover local newspaper will be the centerpiece of another exhibit. Eventually, this will be a slice-of-life museum that brings alive the simpler days of Hanover County. For National Public Radio, this is Marge Halperin reporting.